Welcome to the May the Smoke Be With You podcast. And now here's your host, Joe Levitt.
All right, well, welcome into this episode of the May the Smoke Be With You podcast. You know, we're once again live in Tampa, beautiful Tampa, Florida. Humidity about 142% right now. Even if it's 70, it feels like it's about 94. But it's beautiful, and it's a beautiful weekend for barbecue. We are here at Barbecue Love Fest. It's the reason we're kind of in town. And I'm thrilled to be joined with the one and only Mel from Dark Side of the Grill. If you are on the socials, the Instagrams, the TikToks, the everything, you probably know this guy. He is wide open. He is always going. And I love and I'm very thankful that you've taken some time out here to be on the May the Smoke Be With You podcast. So please welcome in Mel.
100%, bro. No, this is a long time coming, man. I've been excited for this for a bit. So
yeah,
it's awesome to finally catch up, right? And in the middle of something like this, this is perfect, right? It's about to get nuts, and you know that.
Yeah.
Right? We just trimmed, I don't know, 300 pounds of tri-tip in there. Fridge is absolutely packed. Perfect tri-tips. We've got all kinds of things happening, but this is this is a perfect time to do this. So
cool. Well, I want to go back because I don't think I know this part of your story. You know, where did you first get into barbecue? Because I mean, you're an Alberta boy up there in Edmonton.
That's right.
And I don't think of that as kind of a barbecue hotspot.
It's
so tell me, where'd you first intersect kind of barbecue?
So it the irony of the thing is Alberta beef is huge.
Yeah.
Across the world, everybody knows Alberta beef. I have chefs from Amsterdam that send me videos of them opening up Alberta beef picanhas.
Yeah.
And they're freaking out, like, this is, it's on their menu, Canadian Western beef, right? But barbecue hasn't hit there yet. It's still steaks. It's still your roast, your classic prime rib in the oven, right? Barbecues are, I think a lot of it is to do with our climate, minus 40s, minus 50s in Celsius, right?
So you have a window.
A very short window. So everyone's running natural gas. Everyone's running propane. It's very few and far between that you see anyone with charcoal, right? So we're definitely carving out a new genre up there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of boys really, really pushing the barbecue culture up in Canada, and I'm proud to be part of, like, the Canadian Barbecue Society and stuff like that. I actually do a lot of cooking with Alberta beef and Canada beef, and we're really trying to push barbecue as a culture up there to get it more boots on the ground. You know what I mean? So
yeah. So growing up, like, did your family cook?
So I grew up, I'm half Ukrainian and half Danish. So grew up in my grandmother's kitchen making pierogies. We'd hand make sauerkraut, big rain barrels full of cabbage, right? Making sauerkraut the old school way, right? Yeah. Everything was...
like, what would you do with a rain barrel full of sauerkraut at the end?
It would end up in jars. And then you put it in the cold storage. And
you'd have it for
eat it throughout the year. Same as our pickles, right? We do pickles, we do pickled beets, we do all kinds of stuff. But the neat thing about that was it was all farm to table. And meat especially, we'd have whole pigs. Uh-huh. And we'd go out there and you'd hang them up by the tractor and you'd and this was common to do, but the barbecue aspect wasn't there.
Yeah.
So it was an easy jump for me to go from just traditional farm style cooking up there to barbecue. The most of it was already there. It was just switching fuels.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of hardwood up there. So that's another huge bottleneck for barbecuing.
So that part of the country, prairie, is that
Yes.
All right, so kind of wide open spaces.
That's it. It's all pine
wind
trees.
Wind blowing.
Pine trees and poplars.
And you don't want to smoke with pine.
And there's no bueno on any of that, right?
Yeah.
So the wood source is the bottleneck for Canadian barbecue for sure.
Yeah.
And now with freight, the price of shipping and stuff like that, it would come through Ontario and come across the country, and now that's closing up. That kind of stuff is an actual nightmare for a barbecue person, especially someone running an offset, a big offset.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But once you get past the wood issue and you can source your own wood, then it gets fun. It gets really fun because we have world-class beef up there.
Yeah.
We fight with Texas constantly. It's absolutely amazing. I love walking into butcher shops in Texas and start talking barbecue because they've been to Alberta.
And they know.
They've been there hunting. And they know that our beef is outstanding, and we're not doing half of the things that we should be doing with it. So it's awesome.
So is it? It's a, you know, you're
being on that kind of cutting edge of that movement in, in Canada, you're trying to grow the home cooks to take a chance to get out there and to switch fuels, if you will.
Yep.
Has there been almost a training for the butchers as well? To change the types of cuts?
Exactly. So one neat thing that I heard from someone that was completely random, one of the CEOs from Canada Beef was at the Edmonton Farm Fair International. Yeah. So this was the 4-H Club, everybody from all around the world. We had Australia, we had New Zealand, we had everybody showing their prize cattle at this event. And the CEO, someone up there in Canada Beef said, like, we can almost meter when you started pushing picanha online.
Wow.
And when people learned, one, how to cut it, and two, how to sell it.
Yeah.
And they were like, single-handedly, we watched you, like, bring a cut that no one even, you know, and I get right in your face, picanha, baby. Like, you know, I send it as hard as I can all the time. So it's absolutely perfect. But it was just cool to hear that from some outsider that's not in our world.
Yeah.
Say that. Like, it was really neat. So, yeah.
So, like, I understand you're kind of on the cutting edge up there, but, like, where did you say, I want to cook with fire?
So, me being a welder by trade, I'm actually a journeyman welder, grew up in the oil field. I built a ton of huge heavy-duty equipment for finning, for Caterpillar, pipeline welding. I've done it all up there. As a kid, if you can't figure out a trade real quick, like, you're done for, right?
Okay.
So it's the little Texas of the north, right?
Gotcha.
We're 95% as big as Texas, and we have less of a population than San Antonio.
Oh, golly.
So this is
there's a lot of land.
A lot of cattle, man. A lot of cattle and a lot of mountains and just a whole bunch of nothing other than that, right?
Yeah.
It's wild. So being a welder, I started cooking for the boys in the safety meetings. And then, obviously, YouTube, right? Malcolm Reed videos way back in the day, watching Cosmo, watching all those old dogs on YouTube. And why don't I try my hand at a brisket? And I've got the little silver bullet, right? I got the old Weber kettle.
Yeah.
And I'd try it, and I'd learn, and I'd constantly. And it was the complete opposite of what they were doing, because they're in the middle of Texas, or they're, you know, Southern Carolina or whatever.
Right.
I was in 2 feet of snow. Minus 40. So then you'd learn to adapt with that, and that's where the Big Green Egg came in. The Kamado style cooker was, as soon as you get it to 250, it stopped.
Yeah.
Now weather was not an issue at all. It would stay hot for hours after you shut it down, even in the middle of a blizzard.
The beauty of ceramics.
So that was how I was able to get the cutting edge of barbecue up there, just with a ceramic style cooker. I was able to defeat the demons, you know what I mean, in doing that. Trying to do live fire, and so neat. Side story, Al Fregoni. The first time I met Al Fregoni, the king of live fire, right?
Yep.
I met him in Bayou La Batterie, Alabama, doing a big social media thing. And he had already seen my videos of me cooking in a blizzard, holding a beer and having to use my fingers to punch the beer out so that I could keep drinking the beer. And I had a huge rack of beef ribs on a live fire. And he's like, this was the most insane thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, nice to meet you, whatever. And I had no idea at this time who he was. I was driving in the truck with him when he hit 1 million on TikTok.
Wow.
And I look at him, I'm like, what's TikTok? And he's like, you Canadians, man, you guys need to learn a whole bunch of stuff here real quick. Cause this is, so I've been blessed by my surroundings and the people that I rub shoulders with. My training is just instantly in the fire, you know, behind the offsets, learning from absolute giants of the trade. And they take me under their wing, partly because I'm Canadian and because they know my passion is 100% into it. So this is, I've been blessed every which way. And like I said, quickly learning and then taking the catering aspect. As soon as I finally retired from welding, which was 2019, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even by choice. Yeah, you talk to any entrepreneur that's like, when I had to jump off the cliff, for me, I was at a Christmas party for my company that I was working for. I had been there 10 years welding.
Wow.
And the boss says, hey, just so you know, you've used up all your vacation days for next year.
You have.
Already. I have already.
Because you were down cooking, you were going to Texas, you were hanging with Al, you were coming down here with
Buddha
and doing
Memphis
all the things.
Memphis and Maine, you know, and I said, like, I've got plane tickets booked for next year already. This isn't going to work. He's like, yeah, you're telling me.
Yeah, he's like, you have a job.
I stared him right in the face, and I said, you know, it was a pleasure working for you.
Wow.
His jaw dropped.
At the Christmas party.
I was done right then and there without even thinking about it, without even talking to anybody. I just knew. Something in me was like, and then they tried to give me a raise. They tried to do a bunch of, and I was like, I've literally checked out. I am now done.
Yeah, you once you said that, there was no going back.
That's
for
it.
You.
100%.
Because for a while, there was probably that dream
that
was like, man, if I could just do this full time.
Yeah.
And there was a fear of doing it full time.
100%.
And then when you were kind of met with that dilemma of, hey, I've got these already 3 to 4 things. I already know I'm going to Memphis in May.
Yeah.
That's I don't have vacation. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to miss that. Like, that speaks to the passion that you have for this that goes beyond.
And I'm not joking. Like, I'm not rolling in money. That fear is still there.
Yeah.
That monkey still lives on my back every month to try and figure out how I'm making do.
Yeah.
But now I know as long as my heart is into it and I'm doing events like this, it's going to work.
Yeah.
Somehow it's going to work. I see how much people put into other things, how much people put into, and that's for anybody listening that's thinking about whatever, like, trust the system, right? If you are willing to put in the work, and I sleep like 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
Work is not a problem for me. It's everything else that I love it. And if you put in the work, it's going to happen for you.
Today's episode is sponsored by Tent Craft. Hey, attention barbecue comp teams, barbecue brands, and business owners of all kinds. If you take your show on the road, you need to make sure you are repping your brand with the best custom tent in the game. The folks at Tent Craft make their tents from the frame to the canopy, all in Traverse City, Michigan. This veteran-owned small business works with small brands like Little Ol' Me, all the way up to the big boy brands that you know and recognize. Listen. Their tents will not be the cheapest, but they will be the best, and they back it with amazing customer service. The team at Tent Craft still believes in delivering a great product at a fair price and making it all from start to finish with American labor. If you want to see what the folks at Tent Craft can do to make your custom tent dreams come true, then reach out to them to get a free quote just like I did. Mention May the Smoke Be With You and get 15% off your custom tent. That's a great deal. Again, mention May the Smoke Be With You if you reach out to get your free quote, and you will get 15% off your custom tent. Go to tentcraft.com today to get started.
You know, I think if you follow you on social media, you do see that level of work.
Mm-hmm.
He's relighting his cigar here. He was talking so much, he let it go out. It's a cigar sin that Mel just committed.
Mm-hmm.
But he was on a good monologue there.
Chatty Cathy.
Yeah. You know, you're gone a lot. Like, it's, you know, is there, like, how, is there the fear, you said, that the monkey on your back every month, is there a fear of now saying no to things out of, like, fear of, like, that might not come around again? If I say no to Barbecue Love Fest, if Danny Hernandez calls up and says, hey, love to have you down here, and you go, no, like, is there a fear of saying no because you're kind of worried?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. I've learned so many lessons in this adventure, especially, like, I'm on the pro team with Big Green Egg.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm double booked for something, or they show up to something late and I have to miss an event, it's a massive event. I missed the last, I believe it was San Antonio, the Ace Hardware show.
Okay.
And it was the first one that they did a competition in that event. And I've been pushing for this for 3 years.
Yeah,
like, why don't we do something more edgy? Why don't we do some? So of course the one that I miss is the one where I got to, like, strut like a rooster, and, you know, like, it's, so yeah, it's.
And you were, I think, were you in Australia for that?
I was, yeah. So there was nothing I could do. Like, my hands are tied. So this is, one thing I'm absolutely blessed with is the iPhone calendar, right? Because obviously I'm not a huge corporation. I don't have an assistant. I don't have anything like that. So that calendar, man, it prevents me from double booking myself, which seems to almost happen weekly, right?
So, So Danny calls up, says, hey, we've got this thing.
Yes.
It's November, Tampa, and you go into the calendar at that point.
That was, so
block it out.
This originally had a different date.
Ah, okay.
And I was booked for flights. I was booked for everything. And then he had to push this back to November because of another event that was happening downtown, I believe. And all of a sudden, it's like, that's a 50-50. I can make this.
Yeah.
Right? Do I have a catering gig? Do I have somebody's wedding? Do I have...
Yeah.
So blessed that it actually turned out, and this was fine. But, oh, man, it's...
So when you're home, you're kind of hustling a few different things. You just launched a line of spice rubs.
Yes, seven rubs.
Seven rubs. Seven Talk rubs. A little bit about that process, getting that to market. What was that like for you?
It's still insane, man.
Yeah.
Literally just launched November 1st, mm-hmm. and there's all kinds of production issues already. There's, you know, dispatch issues. There's, like, it is what it is. It's a whole other arm to this world, right?
Yeah.
And it's...
Are you producing that in the States?
Nope, I'm producing it in Alberta. Alberta made. I had the logos changed from Canada made to Alberta made because
That means something to
it. Does
that's like saying Texas made.
That's right.
Isn't
exactly.
It?
Exactly. Yeah. That's I'm trying to push the Alberta pride a little harder.
Yeah,
because we should. It's
for other folks in the country. Like if they're in Ontario or Quebec, if they see Alberta made,
yeah.
Like, is it the same thing that people have an affinity for Texas outside of that province?
They'll know.
You know, they'll be like, that means, they'll understand what that
that's
means.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
That's
yeah,
cool.
That's it. Yeah. They'll know that the heart is in the product, right?
All right. So you're making it in Canada, which, is it more expensive to make in Canada?
Everything is insane up there,
yeah.
Man. Everything is. So I'm working on production and distribution in the States.
So a separate.
It'll be a totally separate entity. It'll be me starting the second half of Darkside stateside now, and all of those headaches are.
Yep.
But this is fun, and this is, you know, at the end of the day, you're building something for your kids. You're building something for your family, and this was the plan. It wasn't just for me to get out on the road and party.
Right.
It was to build something that will stand on its own.
Yeah.
Right. And that's
that. Hopefully, that rub, the seasonings take off.
Yep.
And that helps. Relieve some of the pressure of the monkey.
Exactly. Or at least open another door to something else. I never know. Like, I never know from one day to the next what I'm actually doing. Or
last year you had a hot sauce collab.
Yes.
Type thing.
Yes. And that's been a monster.
Yeah.
It's been an absolute monster. I love it. The only other person that they collabed with, like me, is Dustin Poirier from the UFC.
Oh, wow.
And now they're the...
I mean, you guys look alike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, between 100 pounds, give or take, you know, it's... now they're the official hot sauce of the UFC. Heartbeat hot sauces.
Okay.
So it's massive. And still, because of the barbecue family, the barbecue community, my hot sauce is still a bestseller.
Yeah.
And it's part of their brand.
Yeah, because of your connections, because Al...
Everybody.
Puts it on his stuff.
It's awesome, man.
Buddha puts it on his stuff. You know, all the friends that you make that want to. It is, I think, I've talked about this so many times on the podcast. This idea of family in barbecue is the real deal. Sometimes it shows up in some tragedies. You'll see something happen, a fire or a death, and the people rally around that way. But also, there's things like this where. Mel did a collab on a hot sauce.
Yep.
Mel reaches out to 10 of his best buddies, gets them the product.
Yep.
They're now pushing it, and you're not paying Al to do that. Al's doing it because he loves Mel and wants to see Mel succeed in the same way that you did that with Al's chimichurri.
Up north.
Yeah.
It's on fire up there now.
Yeah.
They can't keep it on the shelves.
Yeah.
Same as the W sauce. W sauce... I was one of their first ambassadors.
I heard today you were the first.
That's
what they said.
And the family, that's what it was all about.
Yeah.
Like, for me, money takes such a third or fourth or fifth seat in that. As soon as I tasted it, I was like, I'm all in. This is fantastic. And then when I met the people behind it, I was like, this is a beautiful family, and these people are standing up for this product.
Yep.
Like, now I'm all in 100%.
Right.
I was in the back of a truck with an AK-47 behind me, driving through, I believe, Texas, doing Buc-ee's, when they came up with the rub and tug.
Okay.
When it was first born.
Yeah.
In the back of the truck, doing, like, I don't even remember, you know, their product was just getting launched or just getting in there, whatever, and we were shooting just some random stuff.
Yeah, but which is what you do in
exactly,
Texas.
Exactly,
yeah. Shoot random stuff.
Yeah, it's wild, man. And these stories, like, they write themselves.
Yeah.
And I just happen to end up in these places doing these things, and it's like a part of history.
Yeah.
Watching this all unfold now, and I'm thinking, like, who's going to be talking about this 10 years from now? It's awesome. That first rub and tug was the most epic barbecue event I've ever been a part of.
Amazing.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
To try and explain to people that the ground you were standing on that was between you and Cuba is now gone, and you're part of maritime law, and you're cooking lobsters on a big green egg in the ocean. Like, it's just like... People, they see the pictures and they can't even wrap their head around what's actually happening. Like, it was epic. It was absolutely epic.
So seasonings, hot sauce, then you have the catering. So how do you fit all that in and try to keep that going as you're going to the States, you know, back and forth, every, you know, multiple times, it seems, a month. Almost.
Well, when you figure it out, you let me know, because I have no idea, man. It just works. It just works. It's, I've always been on ball, with especially my Instagram, right? People would test me all the time, message me on Christmas Eve and ask me how to cook a brisket. Big Green Egg actually vetted me like that.
Okay.
How I originally ended up on there, they sent a few ghost accounts to hit me up.
Interesting.
And it's always me, and it's always talking positive about the brand, and it's always being part of the thing and just trying to help you cook a brisket. And I don't want to answer you on Christmas Eve. I don't, but you took the time to message me.
Yeah, so you must be in a world of hurt. You must be 100%. Really, really worried about that tomorrow. You don't want to ruin Christmas
dinner. Exactly. So, someone out there is taking the time to learn to cook for their family. I'm going to take the time to answer it.
Yeah.
And, like, heaven forbid it becomes a problem where I'm so busy I can't.
Yeah.
Like, I'm blessed to have people still reaching out.
Yeah.
So, I'm happy to do it.
Do you feel like you're getting kind of close to that tipping point of being able to stay as communicative and as personable
100%.
As you have been?
Like little things, like the stickers.
Yeah.
Right? When I first started out, the sticker exchange, whatever, right?
Send me one, I'll send
that's,
you one.
That's right. Yeah. But now you get people that are seriously mad because I haven't sent them stickers in a month. And I say, like, I haven't been home in a month, man.
Yeah.
Give me some time to...
Yeah.
I've got a notepad somewhere and your name's on it. Just give me a...
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny. And you know what? These are problems I'm blessed to have.
Yeah.
So I'm... You know, as long as
the
people
other could
get,
be true,
exactly,
you could have, you know, a box full of stickers that nobody wants.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So I'm blessed to have these problems, and hopefully people can just wait a little longer if I'm too busy. It is what it is. It's
and so catering. I see you cook on this massive smoker,
Elvira. Yes.
Where'd you get Elvira?
Built it.
I was gonna ask because you were a welder.
I hand built it.
Man, that saved you some money, huh?
Well, it did. When I reached out to Moberg, it was a 2-year wait. I think it was $40,000.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't have either of those. So next step is to just figure it out on my own. And literally it was watching YouTube videos, smokerbuilder.com, right?
Okay.
Watching, and I people laugh at me all the time. They're like, it's a Frankenstein between, you know, Moberg and a few other pit companies. And I'm like, this was all I had.
Yeah.
There was no place in Edmonton, Alberta, or even in Alberta that I could walk over and take a look at an offset.
Yeah.
Because there was none.
And nobody was making them.
And at that point I wasn't traveling. It was just the start of COVID, whatever. I'd never even seen one. So I built one.
Yeah.
Just with what I seen on YouTube.
How do you think it performs? Like, are you happy with it?
Oh, it's deadly. It's absolutely, it's one of the better pits I've ever cooked on.
Yeah.
I'm blessed to have her. And that was, the neat part was just my understanding of how the smoke works, understanding how heat exchanges.
Right.
And then having those YouTube videos to help push that along.
Right.
The magic trick, and this is some insider information, people can get them as they want, but the firebox, the hole between the firebox and the pit is absolutely super important.
Okay.
That and then the size of your stack.
That's what she
said. Exactly. These two things go hand in hand, right? And what I did was I plasma cut a hole, and then I lit it up. I lit it up and I cooked on it, saw how it ran, and then I went in there, cut another inch out of that hole.
Ah, okay.
So then I started playing with it, and I did toast. Putting toast on all of the pieces
I've
of bread.
Seen the biscuit test.
That's
the
right.
Toast test. Yep, yep.
And just figuring out my holes and how to change those holes, and then adding a pan for water and doing these kinds of things, and dialed it in. Literally dialed it in as I built it.
And that's the gift and that you had as being a guy who was a craftsman who could do that versus just a guy who's you know, maybe a backyard welder and can just, you know, get some plans and take a chance, like you had the ability to do that. Was there ever a time when you thought, man, maybe this is what I'm going to do. Maybe I'm going to build smokers up here.
Never. Never. Oh, okay. Dude, I was done welding. At that point, I was done welding. I was angry that I was building Elvira.
Okay.
But that was, it was a necessity
yeah.
to build. But I was like, I was finished. I was just, yeah. I knew as I was building her, I knew I was like, I can't wait for the day when I can like weld up a Harley frame for fun.
Right.
But I'm not there yet.
Yeah. So, you know, you, young kid, making sauerkraut in grandma's kitchen, kind of that rustic cooking turns into, you know, so you were kind of raised a little bit of a farm mm-hmm. foodie, mm-hmm. you know, where you guys were making some things. I imagine, you know, sauerkraut, bold flavors, you know, not afraid of, yeah. of things that had some punch to it.
I'll give you an example of like a direct relation to this.
Okay.
We would make our own lard.
Yeah.
From okay. the pigs.
Yeah.
Bacon fat, right? You take your bacon fat, you pour it into an old mason jar.
Mm-hmm.
It stays underneath the sink.
Yeah.
I grew up with this. This yeah. was a normal thing. If you're cooking eggs, you take a scoop out of that jar, throw it in the frying pan, away you go.
Yep.
So now you see the TikTok flaming people fighting about making homemade brisket tallow and it's yeah. unsafe for blah, blah, blah and whatever, right? My grandmother's 98 years old.
She's doing okay.
Yeah. You want to tell her that it's unsafe to keep a jar of fat under the sink? You go ahead. But yeah. she's going to tell you exactly where to go and how to get there because
right.
that's, it is what it is. So I love the crossover from the super old school stuff that I grew up with.
Yep.
To now, like, this new age technology, everybody's doing these reels of stuff, and it's like, there is a science behind this and yeah. a culture behind it that, like, a lot of people aren't even talking about.
Yeah.
It's just neat to be a part of both sides of that coin.
Yeah, and just, there's always seems to be these cycles of things. You know, lard, tallow are one of those things that the popularity, you know, there's these folks that are saying you shouldn't do it, whatever, but I mean, folks are cooking with it now yeah. again more than ever.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, I was just listening to a guest on Rogan's podcast talking about seed oils and how bad they are for you and really that people should be cooking with lard instead of canola.
Exactly.
You know, and it's yeah. just, which is bizarre.
I come from a place in the planet where nothing changed.
Yeah.
And they're still doing that.
Yeah.
Like to this day, which is cool because.
And they're just hardy people and they're. Yeah. Yep. They make it.
Farm to table is just, it's a necessity because why would you put anybody in between that?
Yeah.
Right? It's too easy to just go to the farm, get your stuff, and, you know, they've lived forever on it. So.
Yeah.
So not then to come to places like California and stuff where you see like there's eight people between you and your dinner, right? Like yeah. how does this happen? This is crazy. Like
yeah.
this is life, right? And this is where you live. This is the stuff you have to deal with to try and get back to that lard in a you know, a California setting.
Right.
You're really fighting to do it. Like it's
yeah.
it's an actual problem for a lot of people. So it's neat to see boys finally and ladies, especially the ladies, get, you know, grab the bull by the horns. And render out your brisket fat and make yep. your own homemade tallow, and it that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. So as you think about that catering side, is there a dream for that to expand? For there to be a dark side grill at some point up there in Edmonton? Like is that like a like as you think of the evolution of the brand, is that a place that you want to go?
So to be honest with you, I think my second year in this. I'm friends with quite a few builders and people up there in Edmonton that have yeah. a lot of coin floating around, and they've offered. First was food trucks. I must have had 10 people offer to buy me a food truck straight up and,
yeah.
and put me in there. The last thing I want to do is spend evenings and weekends in a steel can, like cooking for minimum wage, man.
Right.
It's even if it's wildly successful,
yeah.
that's still not what I want to do.
Yeah.
This is what I want to do. This is where my heart's at. So I hope one day, like the old Rocky Balboa, right?
Yeah.
I hope one day I have a smoke shop somewhere just like this, right? Open concept.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And I can, you know, show people pictures on the wall and trophies that I've won and, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm done. I'm done traveling. And at that point, this is it. That's the last kick of the cat will be me finally settling down. But if you follow me at all or you know me at all, that settling down thing isn't going to happen for a long time.
No,
so.
there's a wide open is what comes
correct.
To mind when I think of that's, you.
Well, poor Elliot from W Sauce, right?
Yeah.
He's had me since Saturday. Or,
he needed to go home and take a nap today.
He was done, he was man.
Like, I need to go home.
Yeah, dude.
He was like, he had this look of despair.
Yeah, no,
I walked in. He was like drawn to me. Like, just help me, please.
Yeah, yeah. I love it, man. I'll run the tires off of anything, man.
Yeah.
It's part of what I do. It's I'm just full of life. You know what I mean? Literally, barbecue has given me a second lease on life. Mm. And it's insane because I'm now the person that I always dreamed of being.
Okay.
But I was never this. I used to be shy.
Yeah.
Like, and I couldn't shoot videos for anything. I couldn't, like, this was, I'm still totally technologically just, I can't.
Yeah.
People laugh at me all the time. They're like, well, why don't you just get an app for that? Or, you know, do you schedule your posts on Instagram? I'm like, no.
No.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, this is, it's still just me posting in the back of Al's car driving down the, you know.
Yeah.
It's still me. He laughed, man. The first time he saw me make a reel in a hotel room, we had to go get changed, put the beer on ice, and then we were leaving to an event.
Yeah.
So we were in the hotel room for maybe 15 minutes, and in that 15 minutes, I sat down in one of the chairs, and I did a voiceover on a bunch of clips that we had recorded that day, and he's watching me, and he's like, you just do it like that? Like, that's it? Are you going to edit it? I'm like, I pieced it together, and I voiceovered while he was, like, brushing his teeth, right? Yeah. He's like, and that's it? Like, yeah, dude, this is... any port in a storm, when you're rolling, man, you got to just, you know. Right. And now it's getting harder because, like you've seen today, right, I was here for like 2 minutes and I had three jobs to do.
Yeah.
This is how it goes now. It's getting a lot harder to create content and post content at the same time, but it's still me.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I do take pride in. Like, sometimes it doesn't happen as often as I want it to,
right,
but it's still my content and it's still me doing it. Yeah. So,
as you look around this barbecue community, we talked a little bit about Al. Who are the folks that are kind of your, I'll say, your ride or die, you know, the folks that you're like, these are the guys that I owe a lot to, that have been instrumental in kind of helping me get to this point.
Oh, that's a tough one. I got to say thank you to the old boys, right? Like Cosmo and Malcolm Reed
that for taught you before you even met
exactly,
them, you know, that were
exactly
across thousands of miles.
Yeah. People I never thought I would meet.
Yeah.
I never thought I would meet. Never mind seeing them come stumbling out of a trailer with a shot at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, like, it's awesome, man. It's awesome to be here now, looking back at it. So those old boys, man, absolutely love them. The people now, Al has been instrumental in my path, just because his passion is just like mine.
Yeah.
And when we're together, it's nothing about money. It's nothing about brands or sponsorship or anything.
Yeah.
We're both literally just looking for tacos and maybe a beer, a cerveza, right? And then we're looking to find a place to light a fire and cook some stuff.
Yeah.
And it's priceless. Absolutely priceless. The boys from WSAW, same thing, right? There's so many people that have been awesome along the way, like Benny Kendrick. He's been very supportive.
Yeah.
The family out at in Australia, Fat Boy Smokehouse.
Yeah,
they've been huge, man. They've let me in. When we did Meat Stock in Sydney, it was his youngest daughter's birthday that weekend, and they took me with them to her like birthday weekend in Sydney. So we did all kinds of fun stuff she wanted to do and whatever. And I was just happy to be like,
here comes Uncle Mel.
Yeah, that's exactly, and that's how it's been. Like, they're absolutely amazing people, and they're on the cutting edge of everything you can, man.
In Australia, yeah, they're doing something similar. American Barbecue is starting to kind of take over.
I want to say he's building a 10,000 gallon smoker for the next.
Okay,
I'm not allowed to say that. That's not released yet.
Okay.
But there was pictures of us standing in a pipe, so I think I'm maybe allowed to talk about it. But the stuff that they're doing is insane.
Yeah,
it's insane over there. Barbecue is absolutely on fire. Meat Stock, 25,000 people through the gate.
That's amazing.
It's crazy. When I was doing, I don't know if you saw the video with the saltwater crocodiles.
Yep.
And I'm chanting, chop the croc, chop the croc. And now there's like 4,000 people standing in front of you. You know that like less than a quarter of them are even going to get a sample of it, right?
Right.
And it's just, they're all just like piranhas, man. It was wild to just see that and be part of it. It was incredible.
Yeah, so it's literally taking you around the world.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
no,
it's not just like you fly down to Florida or Texas or Georgia or Memphis.
No,
or,
I got New Zealand next year with Meat Stock. I've got four more stops through Australia with Meat Stock. We're quietly working on Brazil later next year.
That's a Meat Stock?
That's a Meat Stock in Brazil. And, and that other one, that Chura, whatever, it's very Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. Don't get mad at me. It's Guajillo peppers, why there's no W. You people are, it doesn't make any sense to me, but it is what it is. It's I'm trying. That's the key, is that I'm trying. But and then Japan.
Okay.
We got our eyes on a rancher I met.
Okay.
That has direct connections in Japan. He's got animals in Japan.
Okay.
and he wants me to pair with his sushi chef to do a wild collaboration down there. And I soon this opened up when I said all I want to do is put a live octopus in my mouth. That's one of my bucket lists.
Why would you say that?
Well, so they do this. This is a common thing. This is a real thing.
But it doesn't make it right if it's common.
I don't care. I'm going to do it, man. I'm trying to eat everything on the planet once. Yeah. This is my... When I was in Australia, I ate a grub out of the tree.
Okay.
We took a hatchet and skinned the bark off and grabbed a grub. It was like two shot glasses of hot goo.
Yeah, okay.
That, like, I ate.
Okay.
You're with Aboriginals.
Sure.
They're taking me in the out, like literally in the outback. Okay. We're catching eels with a little fishing rod in the ditch. We're eating eels and stuff. And they're like, you know what happens if we can't catch anything? We got to eat a bug out of the tree. I'm like, this is all. They sent me home with a hand carved didgeridoo.
I saw the, coming through the airport.
The guy had a vision. The guy had a vision. And what they do in their culture, when you have a vision, you either write a poem or you paint a picture. Or you carve something.
You make something that lasts.
The vision was a gigantic bull kangaroo that was red.
Okay.
And he was like, that was you at Meatstock in Sydney because you blew my doors completely off and you never stopped. You were bouncing around. Yeah. You did all that. And I like, what an honor, man. What an absolute honor to do this kind of stuff. Like it's, and I just, it takes my breath away. Every event, I'm like a kid in a candy store. You know what I mean? And people, they just love following it because they know how into it I am.
Yeah. What makes you come to events like Barbecue Love Fest here?
The people. It's always the people. We got the Russ Welches of the world. We got all kinds of people that live in this community that are just super excited to spend time with me.
Yeah.
They got questions for me, things that they've been thinking about watching my stuff for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
And I love getting to sit down with them and go through those questions and show them on the egg or whatever I'm cooking on at the time how I like to do things, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Danny's doing a really cool thing down here.
Yes.
This spot.
It's crazy. This
brisket shop slash grill and provisions. It is a amazing just grill shop that has every apparatus you could want.
Yep.
Then 3 days a week, it's a full-blown barbecue shop.
Yep.
And now he's doing this festival tomorrow, which is going to be amazing.
Yeah, I can't wait, man.
And you're doing some tri-tip tomorrow.
Yep.
It's great. I'm glad that our paths crossed. You know, I always ask kind of a little series of questions at the end here.
Yep.
Before I do that, what's next for you? You kind of talked a little bit about travels. Anything else coming up that we need to be on the lookout? Any new products? Any new, you know, you inventing your own grill? Like, what do you...
You may or may not see me on TV.
Okay.
You may or may not see me with a book.
All right.
So, those are my next steps.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
I try and keep pretty grounded, but...
That's great.
These seem like reasonable things. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Why not, right?
That's it.
I mean, it both of those things seem like a logical evolution for the brand.
Yep.
You know, there's something that... I think you've got something to say, whether... your story or whether in cookbook form, whatever it is. And then, you know, obviously you've got a personality that I think can convey in other mediums as well. So that makes a lot of sense.
Awesome.
All right. So may the smoke be with you. Obviously a little bit of a Star Wars reference.
Yep.
Dark Side of the Grill. Look at the logo. Obviously a little bit of a Star Wars reference as well. So let's talk a little bit of Star Wars. What's your favorite movie?
Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, 100%. Absolutely.
100% Empire Strikes Back.
I mean, you basically live in Hoth.
That's it.
There.
That's it. But the AT-AT walkers.
Yes.
That was it for me. When I saw those, I don't know what it was, but I wore my VHS tapes out.
Yep.
It was just the coolest thing in the world. And I always, I collected the toys since I was a kid.
Yep.
I've had the entire collection of 1977 to 1984 action figures three times in my life.
Okay. You sold them and then got them back?
And then bought them again.
Okay.
And then like I sold them and bought
times
them again.
Were hard,
that's
like,
it.
Sell them.
That's it. You know, you grow up, right? You buy a house. Oh, I got to get rid of these. And then guess what? A year later, you're like, why did I get rid of those? I need to get them back. I've done it three times now. This last set, I'm not selling.
Okay. Good.
So that's it.
If we see that you're selling them, we need to send help.
You know, exactly.
We need to send
that's
help.
It. Mel has been kidnapped, and the lady is now selling his stuff. That's
favorite character?
Jabba the Hutt.
Okay.
Jabba the Hutt.
Okay.
Yeah. In time, you will learn to respect me. that.
Okay.
Oh, dude, just a gangster, a straight up gangster. Okay. I love that.
First time Jabba's ever been named his favorite character.
Dude, he was just straight up. Like, he didn't care about anything. And he had the Rancor, right?
Yeah.
You know what I would give to have a Rancor? Just a death pit for no reason at all. Just press a button and open the flight. I just thought it was badass, man. I love that.
So when you're out there and you're cooking and you're at home, what are you listening to? What's playing in the background?
Oh, that's a slippery slope, that one. I'm a huge fan of Wu-Tang.
Okay.
Huge fan of old school Ice Cube, Cypress Hill. I love my old rap.
Yep.
I absolutely love White Zombie. Right, Rob Zombie's all right, but okay. White Zombie was right. Wild. And then I do the new stuff like Baby No Money. I like getting into that newer, weirder, kind of poppy sort of stuff.
Okay.
It all depends on what I'm drinking.
Yeah.
And the mood I'm in, right? Like, man, I grew up on Johnny Cash Live in Folsom Prison. This was like an album.
Okay, so
I was
when
like,
you go to Texas and you're with Al, you're not trying to play some
man,
of those other stuff.
We went to Luckenbach.
Yeah.
Luckenbach, right?
Luckenbach, Texas,
and
yeah.
I almost cried.
Yeah.
Like, we actually, and he knew I was vibing it so hard that he didn't talk to me for 5 minutes, and I just sat there under an old oak tree.
Oh, that's
right?
So great.
An old live oak tree, yeah. And there's Alberta plates hammered up on the barn.
Yeah.
Like, I was just.
They were like, there for you.
I got goosebumps.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I got goosebumps. Yeah. Like, literally, I try and feel everything I do.
Yeah.
And when I was in Luckenbach, same as he took me to the Alamo, man. I went to the Alamo, and same deal. I was just like, I froze.
Yeah.
And now I have such an appreciation for Texas and everything Texas because I take that stuff in.
Yeah.
When we go and meet ranchers, and they see it in my face. They're like, I'm excited for you to help cook this thing. Like, this is awesome. This is...
Yeah. So, the respect that you show them and the process... And then ultimately, the product.
That's it. And then usually,
them.
And then usually Tannerite comes out. And then we're all go. Like then it's always good.
So if you're out there and then what are you drinking? What's your go to?
So I get a lot of heat for the White Claws, right?
Okay.
But I'll say this for anybody that's going to throw a cheap jab at White Claws: you start drinking at 7 a.m. and see how you feel at 2 a.m. when you're still drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
It lets you just nurse it all day.
That's it. There's no nursing. Yeah. Not with me, baby. Not with me. But
I was trying to give you the best of the doubt.
No, I'll switch to a bourbon at the end of the night, right? When I'm having a cigar by the pit and everybody's fed.
Yep.
Then it's time to just veg and relax.
You got a favorite bourbon?
I really like most Buffalo Trace products.
Yeah.
Most, like, Eagle Rare is very nice, right?
You're going to get that new Eagle 25, the $10,000 bottle?
Buddy, could you imagine? Could you imagine? No, I had the Pappy 23.
Yeah.
That's an expensive shot,
yep.
Right? When I was at Sussman's house, Barbecue Buddha, the last time, we had a shot of that right out of the bottle. He's like, never mind the cup even. Let's just... And it was awesome. That was when he did his book release party.
Nice.
We threw just a quiet thing in Gulfport, Florida.
Yep.
We ended up with 2,500 people.
That's amazing.
We damn near shut downtown down with that. Like, it was crazy. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Absolute blessing to be with people like that,
doing
things like that. An epic event for his life.
Yeah.
And I was able to be a part of it. Like, I love sharing that stuff. Yeah. So this is, for me, that's what it's all about, all the time.
Well, this has been a pleasure. I do appreciate you taking the time. It's kind of the calm before the storm. Tomorrow's going to be crazy. I'm glad we knocked this out. Really appreciate you. Folks can find you at Dark Side of the Grill across all socials.
That's it.
And the website, and you've got some great merch and things like that there.
Yep.
You can buy your rubs, all that kind of stuff.
100%.
They're being made there. You're looking for a U.S. distribution, but you'll ship from Canada.
There is a way to do that. I don't know how they're doing it, but
somebody's doing
don't get mad at me about it. I don't have
the
time to answer it.
The price won't be cheap.
It won't be cheap, but no, I'm hoping by the end of first quarter
have
to have
over here.
Yeah, grab it soon. So,
yeah. Thanks a lot, man. May the smoke be with you.
Cheers, bro.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the May the Smoke Be With You podcast with Joe Levitt.